What is the most important decision that we have made in our lives? There may be several different answers we could come up with, but one should be rather obvious. But do we truly believe that? For those of us who made the choice to live God's way of life and continue to live that way, do we still truly believe that this was the most important decision in our lives? Are we convinced, or are we convicted in what we believe of the truth that is for life? The quality of showing that one is firmly convinced of what one believes is what defines conviction. When we chose to become baptized, we have entered a contract with God, stating to him that we are committing ourselves to him forever. That is why we need to be absolutely convinced of this before we choose to become baptized. There is no going back. And for those who gave up and went back into the world, thinking that it's no big deal, are going to realize what a big mistake that was if they haven't already. And God makes that very clear throughout the Bible with many examples. There are many things that we still can't comprehend, that is too difficult to explain, and that is if the Bible hasn't already explained it in the way we can understand it. And that is why there is so much confusion in the world. Just as God chose us, we then chose him. Only God can open our minds to his understanding. And as we read the many examples of how God intervenes, of how he fights our battles, then we should trust him in that and trust in his plan for us. Notice Jude verse 24. In Jude 24, we read, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." So him referring to God is the one that is able to keep us or to help us when we go through stumbling, when we go through trials, when we go through our weaknesses. How is that possible? Notice Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. To further elaborate on this, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." And the power that works in us is the Holy Spirit from God. And the way we can obtain that Holy Spirit from God is by being baptized. So as you can see here, above everything that we can possibly ask or think, everything is possible through God. And of course, we have to let him do that. Going back to Jude 24, reading the next verse in verse 25. So Jude 25. "To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." That right there should be pretty evident. He's the only one that is the most wise being who we should look to. Thereby, if we don't have God in our lives, how then can we be wise enough to decipher to what we should be doing? Our personal conviction and how we individually choose to live our lives, our personal relationship with God, is how you and I are going to receive that crown, that final prize, that guarantee of eternal life as God beings. All we need to do is obey God and not let anyone deter us from reaching that goal. And I mean anyone. There shouldn't be anybody out there that should deter us from that. We've said it so many times. I've said it in so many times, previous messages before, that we individually are responsible for ourselves, for we individually will give account for everything that we have done. And based on how we individually have lived our lives, we will then receive our talents based on how we have lived. Now, the Bible gives a great example of the talents in the parable of the talents, which I like to go over in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and starting in verse 14. And there is so much to consider in this parable, which is a very good reason of when we are being called, of how we are to live our lives and how we are to do what God says and the responsibility that is put upon us. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." So not everybody got the same amount of talents because they were given what they can handle. And we know the scripture. We know the scripture where it says that God is not going to test us beyond what we are capable of doing. And there are various trials that everybody goes through. But these are talents that each one had been given based on what they could handle. Everyone is different. Go through different trials, some more than others. Is there anybody that you know that has gone through more trials than Job? He lost everything. And yet it was his self-righteousness that was tested. Just like Satan, when he was tested, was a perfect being, but his self-righteousness and his pride got the better of him. And we all know what ended up to him, with him. Job, however, realized later on what his problem was. And then he asked for forgiveness and he asked for a change. And because of that, God acknowledged that and Job got back a lot more than he had ever started with. And he was blessed for it. Paul, another example of someone who endured so much trial, so many problems. And is there anybody, or have we gone through that much as Paul went through? These examples are here for a reason. So you think you have problems in your life, think about Job, think about Paul. Great examples right there. Verse 16 of Matthew 25, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." To go into that in more detail, settling accounts with them, let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew 12 and verse 36. "But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." So again, we are all tested and we are all going to be in front of that judgment seat when we give account for everything that we did individually. It doesn't matter what the other person did. It matters what you did. Verse 20 of Matthew 25. "So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Verse 22, he who had received 2 talents came and said, "Look, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." Verse 23, "His Lord said to them, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" So obviously we see here that both had overcome the same according to their abilities. But I notice in both of these examples, one who had the five, one had the two, that they had they had been faithful over a few things. Not everything, for we are not perfect. But still, what they didn't do here is give up. They still worked at it. They still stuck to the truth. They put their talents to use, and they overcame based on their abilities. Again, God is not going to test us beyond our control. If we think it's too much, then we're just not strong enough. God knows best. God knows what he was doing when he called us. But then again, it is our choice what we do with that, the talents that have been given to us. Verse 24, he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. This servant here did not do what he was supposed to do. In other words, he was weak, he was spineless, he was a coward. He was giving in, and then as a result, was giving up. Here you go, God, here's what you have given me. I'm not going to put any effort into it. Take what is yours. Take back what is yours. Now, this type of individual did not stand up for the truth or use God's gift. And notice that he was afraid. Now, why would he be afraid? You're only afraid if you know he did something wrong. He knew all these things. He knew this gift that was given to him, and he didn't use it wisely. And therefore, he was afraid. Verse 26, but this Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Called him wicked because the servant did not stand up and therefore gave in. He gave in to compromising. He was not bold enough to stand for the truth and would eventually lead to unrighteousness and sin. What are we about to approach next month? We know that we're going to go through the Passover. We know we're going to go through unleavened bread. What do we read about? A little bit of leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. A little bit of sin. We'll add to more sin. The servant knew all these things. He lived God's way of life. He went through trials. He knew that God would punish disobedience, like it said in verse 24, because he knew it was right and wrong. But then his effort didn't prove to go beyond that. Gave up. Verse 27, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. This was really more of a reminder. Person should have known anyway what you should have done. God was very specific with his instructions, as he is today, as he is in this, what we read about in his word. He's specific in his law, how we are to obey, what we are to do. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11 says, it has been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them, those who haven't been called, it has not been given. This servant knew, or else why would he have been afraid? Verse 28. As a result, God's not going to let this go to waste. With the talents that he's giving each and every one of us who he is calling. So verse 28, therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Remember our crown of life. Revelation 3:11 says to hold fast to what we have so it won't be taken away and given to someone else. People come and go in the church. We have seen that. And we continue to see it. Someone leaves a church and then somebody will be replaced. Let's say they leave, that somebody will be replaced by someone else that God is calling. And we have seen it, and we continue to see it. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. We know that this physical life that we are living is only temporary. But here it's talking about eternal life too. The chance to have your eternal life taken away is a lot more serious than this physical life that we have now. But this physical life that we are living now is a test for us to see if we can overcome, to see if we can endure until the end so we can gain that eternal life. And so in verse 30, and we pray that this doesn't happen, but it will happen to those. He casts the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Talking about the unpardonable sin that some people will have committed. When we commit ourselves to doing something, we have to follow through, or else we could be considered dishonest and even unreliable. That is true to say even in the world today with people, but God also sees it that way. We don't want to be dishonest and unreliable to him. Once we start getting lazy, it will be a lot easier to continue in that path unless we make the effort to change. We also go through trial and error, or if something is not working out the way we want it to, it may be God trying to tell us something, perhaps teaching us a lesson. It may not even be in accordance to his will. That is why being successful involves hard work and commitment. Living in this world is difficult, and living God's way of life is difficult because we are constantly bombarded with temptations, and some could certainly be considered our greatest weaknesses, which we need to overcome by constantly having God involved in our lives. We commit ourselves to him by living his way of life, and in return, God is there for us. We have his special protection. We grow in wisdom and strength to bring us closer to God's master plan. And we go through this over and over again. It's a routine that we go through every year with the Passover coming up. For some of us, it's been tens and tens of years. For some of us, it may be a couple years. But each time, you should be growing in wisdom. We don't need to be afraid. And when we doubt, God lets us know that he is there for us in his word, the Bible. Thousands of pages to read here. Many examples that we can relate to. Notice Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And verse 13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. And then also notice Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. This is something that God is telling us to do. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Everything around us, people around us, whatever we may be going through, you shouldn't be afraid of any of that. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. If he will not leave us for forsake him, then why do we do that to him? Hopefully we don't. So what do we know? We know that God is loving and merciful, and we shouldn't be afraid of what's going on in this world today, but be committed to God's way, and we can see what he promises us. We know that we have a responsibility, that we must endure, because to live God's way of life, we must fear him. What we fear is breaking his commandments, breaking our commitment we have with God. Remember how we committed ourselves to him at our baptism. We were committed to the truth as soon as we were baptized. We may have been already committed before then, but we had to make that final step. And that was, again, our choice to do that. And because we know these things, we have to ask ourselves, how committed are we to the truth and God's way of life? Do we put our faith in question at times? Do we have faith that God will protect us, and during the terrible times that we will be going through, will God show mercy on us? When God gives us a command, how will we respond? Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Of course, it goes beyond just believing. But if we're diligently seeking him, we will be rewarded. There's an action behind it. We have to be consistent with what God tells us. There is no picking and choosing. We can't agree with something that God says and then at the same time disagree with something else that God commands us. We are not to be lukewarm, exactly what the third chapter of Revelation warns us about. We must listen to God's word and we must take it to action. Put ourselves in Moses' shoes. Would we have done the same thing in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 25? New. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. The faith that Moses had, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He had everything. Physically, he was set. But it was a lot more important to him, since he knew that was just a temporary thing anyway, what the future would behold. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was all by himself when he fled. Maybe didn't really know where he was going, what he was doing. He knew he had to get out of there. So sometimes we may be in that same type of situation where we think we are all alone, but we know that God is with us and we know that we have to do the right thing. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Do we have the faith too to keep the Passover in a worthy manner? If there's anything that we are going through, do we have the faith and the strength to get through it so we can keep the Passover? Remember, this is a very important decision in our lives, especially now at this point for all of us who are baptized. The most important thing that we can do is to take the Passover. So then we should know that we have to have a tremendous amount of faith to live this way. And it should be easy for us to do this because we know firsthand what the Bible promises and what is going to happen. So when we committed ourselves to God at our baptism, we knew what we were getting ourselves into. Our conviction to the truth should be evident in how we are living our lives, and it should also show how we are going to approach the Passover next month. For we still have this time right now to evaluate and examine ourselves. And if there's anything that we need to work on and improve on, now is the time. So then let me ask again. Are we truly, truly convicted in what we believe, in the truth, in the way that God desires and commands at all times for life?